Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, June 6th, recording at 8:47 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, firstly, highlights. Stock markets in Asia were pretty steady, nothing spectacular, but firm generally. Nikkei down a little bit today, but the Tokyo second section was up, so nothing going untoward in Japan. European markets were weaker. They'd been sort of unchanged on the day, up a little bit, down a bit, closed soft. Wall Street was also down at the time when the Europeans closed, but currently Wall Street shows some modest gains. If they're there by the close, and I'll still probably be close to still recording by the close, that may steady markets overall. Overall, for these markets, we're seeing a consolidation of or a pause following the overbought conditions. NASDAQ futures a little bit softer in here today, but well off the lows. Elsewhere, what can we say are highlights? Dollar. The dollar is slipping in here, and this is really asking the question, is the rally over? Now, I felt, as you may recall, that the strength that we were seeing in some of the precious metals was asking that question almost in anticipation, well, not almost, in anticipation of the dollar reaching a peak. And I do feel that we're definitely seeing some warning signs. Nothing in the way of big dynamics, but some signs of failed breaks and so on suggest maybe the dollar is near a high, but more on that in a moment. Precious metals were firm in here today. Natural gas was strong in here again today, although oil couldn't hold its push above 55. And that's pretty much it on the highlights. Okay, let's start right back at the beginning here. What about these stock markets? Well, the European markets are reacting a bit, but they have been awfully strong recently. So there's nothing in the way of downward dynamics that can suggest to me at this stage that the upside breaks where we saw them in European stock market indices are going to prove to be failures. However, they have often failed in the past, let's say over the last year or so, that we've seen upside breaks, and they really haven't been able to extend the move, although the indices had ground gradually higher overall. Suffice it to say, at this stage, all I can really call for is a further correction in response to recent short-term gains and the short-term overbought conditions that do apply. I'd very much like to see that, of course, because I've got some hurting short hedge positions in those European stock markets. Now, I did let out a little bit more NASDAQ short position. I have increased that in here, and I'm really concentrating on that. If I'm going to be right on this in the sense of no better than a sideways market for most of these indices, then something like the NASDAQ is going to be vulnerable. We will see, as they say. Elsewhere, though, and I'm jumping around a little bit, hark back to Asia. Singapore, one of the better markets overall, it's shown a very, very steady performance. It's a high-yielding stock market. It's well underpinned. Remember I quoted Ramesh Chandarami saying in all his years in the market that he had never seen better valuations in Singapore. Well, that's partly because it's a developed market. But it's a developed market that's in great shape. If you've seen my recent comments, which were influenced by my discussions with Ramesh on Singapore. So Asia really does remain the really interesting area as far as markets go. Now, Brazil, one of the stock markets that was leading prior to the March peaks, leading on the upside prior to the March peaks, and then saw a big shakeout, as everything did. It's almost entirely resources-based market, so as the resources shares came down quite sharply, it wasn't surprising that Brazil saw a big downside reaction. But Brazil had also firmed up and was doing quite well. Now, there was a story out today, though, regarding some issues of corruption. I'm not going to try to elaborate on that any further. I did look at the headlines and read a paragraph or two when I saw the Brazilian stock market off so much. But it just hammers home that point that with emerging markets, governance is everything. And there have been problems with governance, as we know. I don't think this is as big a problem, anywhere near as big a problem, as we've seen in Venezuela over the last many months, and I don't think it's as big a problem as we see in Russia. I'm going to pause here for a moment to cough. Okay, sorry about that delay. But I just wanted to highlight that point, because in my enormous enthusiasm for emerging stock markets, this is the area to be. The hazards of concentrating in any one market, not that you would, but would be increased by the governance issue. And the governance issue can crop up in any market. I would also cite it as a reason for China's major underperformance, but that's being a little bit simplistic, in the sense that there are plenty of other issues, such as big flotations that have come out, some earnings compression, all the usual fundamental stuff that you'd expect when a market is lagging way behind. But you know, I've also pointed out that communist capitalism is an oxymoron, as of others. So the government. The governance issue is very, very important, and I think Southeast Asia, take a country like Singapore, I mean, the governance there is absolutely phenomenal, and I don't really see that changing for a very long time. If anything, it's going to get better. Okay, moving on to government bonds. Now, I've had a lot of interest in the recent chart changes, the Richard Duncan article, a number of emails, and I've got more to go on this tomorrow. And no wonder it's such an interesting subject. So I've written about it again in here today in response to some of the excellent emails that I had. I'm disappointed by the lack of follow-through in here today. I mean, the U.S. Treasury bonds opened up a little bit, and then they eased off, and they picked up a little bit. And currently they're trading here sort of after hours, up 14:30 seconds. Now, that doesn't look like a big deal on the chart overall, and it certainly doesn't negate the rather powerful downside key day reversal that we saw on Friday. But it would have been better. I would have preferred to see some downside follow-through. Additionally, the big moves in these debt instruments usually occur in piggyback fashion, simultaneously, in other words. And JGBs were very steady today. The Australian bonds wobbled a little bit. The Europeans, we've seen a little wobble. But not anything to get people scurrying for cover in those markets. So I do think we're going to have to see some follow through on the downside. But I'll have plenty more on this tomorrow. It's an absolutely fascinating subject, and it's an important call overall. I think more for what it will say in terms of or how it more for the shadow that it'll cost over other markets, particularly if treasury bond prices fall, yields rise, and that will be really quite important. I think it'll have more, that's the more interesting side of the story, rather than drawing too many conclusions, as some people have, from what the treasury bonds have been doing. I say it's a weight of money that has chosen to flow into these markets for a variety of reasons, perhaps, whereas other people have said, oh, look how strong the bonds are, that must mean the U.S. economy is up the spout. Well, the U.S. economy has some problems, for sure, and there has been a slowdown in the last few months, for sure, but I'm not going to be ringing alarm bells over that. It's still way outperforming Europe, for instance. Okay, looking at the dollar. Now, I pretty much mentioned it all here, but for instance, things like dollar yen, I didn't mention any price levels, but that dollar's fallen back to 106.89. That's down 0.81 here today. That's quite a good size move. And the euro, well, the euro is pretty much the soft currency all around here, given the two votes and refocusing. People have refocused rather on the fact that the euro is very much of an experimental currency still, by virtue of the fact that there is no country called Euroland. Interestingly, I had a call from a journalist in Slovenia here today, wanting some quotes, and these Slovenian journalists have been calling me for a few years now, and they're smart, smart, smart. But the question I was getting was, given the talk, one of the Italian opposition politicians calling for Italy to pull out of the euro, and given a recent poll, which I haven't seen, but was cited to me by this journalist regarding Germans not favoring the euro. Well, that's been the case for the last couple of years. But the question was, did I think that that they would pull out, any of these countries would pull out, either of these countries would pull out, and what were the prospects for that? Well, the short answer is no, they're not going to pull out. But there's certainly been a crisis, a little bit of a crisis of confidence here, and there will certainly be some rethinking going on, and that is not good for the euro, quite obviously. The paradox here is that if the euro is a soft currency generally, that will lend some support to the European economy, and boy does it need it, because it's a very export dependent economy. But it certainly hasn't weakened enough, nor is it likely enough to create a rip-roaring growth story, not with all those structural problems that they have. Now, the euro, I maintain, is going to hold together one way or t'other here for quite a few years, although I would say that largely due to the political will to keep it together. But I maintain, as I have all along, right from its inception, that you look 10, 15 years down the road, and some countries would be pulling out of the euro. But the euro itself would certainly survive unless Germany pulled out. Germany pulled out, I think that would be curtains for the euro, because Germany is the only country, European country, well, they're all European countries, but it's the only country in the Eurozone which has a credible monetary record during the whole post-World War II reconstruction period. Now, interestingly, Slovenia. And I always ask these journalists questions, particularly this is a region that I don't know a great deal about. And I said, "Well, you have a flat tax, don't you?" And she said, "No, that was Slovakia." But there was a big debate going on in Slovenia about whether they should have a flat tax or not. And some of their other taxes were competitive, although not income tax, or they have five graduated levels going up to a 50% top rate tax. But overall, taxes are certainly lower than in the Euroland countries. And she also mentioned, and when they were concerned about Italy talking about pulling out of the euro, because their terms of entry for the 10 East European countries that are joining the European Economic Zone was that they would have to prepare to join the euro. Now, I think there was about a 10-year lead-in for that, but that is actually a requirement. And I said, "Well, why would you want to do that? Why would you want to saddle yourself to a one monetary policy fits every shoe type of structure?" And I appreciate this is not immediately on the subject of markets, so I'll wrap up here. But the debate that she was talking about in Slovenia, all the economists and many of the government figures favored a flat tax following the Slovakian model reasonably closely. It's, of course, the unions, surprise, surprise, who did not want the flat tax. But bottom line here, I think I see future trouble, because these East European countries, they have better growth prospects, they're more dynamic, they're more hungry, they don't have the same interest in the same welfare net. What they would like is some of the development capital that countries like Ireland and Greece and Portugal have been, Spain have benefited so much from over the last decade or more. So they would certainly like some of that. But what we're seeing, though, is that the fascinating issue here is that their economic models really look more like Southeast Asia than what we see in the heart of Europe. So there'll be many, many debates over the future of the euro and what should actually be done in terms of various policies. Okay, let me get back to the markets now, and I apologize for that ramble. But softer dollar, strong precious metals, gold 25, 425, 85. That's looking firm. I bought a little bit of Newmont Mining, and you can see it. Well, it's below where I bought it. Here right now, but again, that has firmed at the lower side of the range. Palladium, that was up 545, firm, but the most interesting one, silver is consolidating here, so only up a little bit here today, but the platinum market closed at 881. So in its Sisyphusian way, once again, the boulder's been rolled up the hill towards this 880 to 890 region. Now, I did a quick look at the chart, and every time that we have seen platinum, spot platinum, close over 880 over the last, I think it must be nearly a year or so, it has fallen back the next day, and usually with a downward dynamic. I'm still in there. I'm still long. I'm a little bit in the money. I have blinked on the two or three other occasions when it's reached this level, and I'm going to hold on because there is a backwardation in there of, I think it was about $4 at one stage today. It's a little hard to tell because the more distant contracts don't trade quite so actively. But all of these precious metals remain extremely firm in here right now. Well, that's an exaggeration. Silver and platinum remain extremely firm, and gold and latterly palladium have turned upwards recently, and it's a very interesting sector at this stage. Last but not least, the grains. soybeans had rallied very strongly this morning. I was delighted to see that, having a not insignificant long position in soybeans. And protected with an in-the-money stop. I've also protected my gold with a tight in-the-money stop. I've also protected runaway natural gas with an in-the-money stop. But the soybeans, having been up to 695 and a half on the July contract early in the session and closed really 677 and three quarters, it was still up 2.5 cents on the day, but big tail on the chart, so it did run into some resistance there. And it rallied early on because the wet weather that had been anticipated did not appear to the extent that people were hoping, so there were more weather concerns here. This remains an interesting sector. I will continue to play it, but not all that aggressively. In other words, I'll only build big positions if I get the luck of a consistent upward trend. But I'm still there, but a little bit disappointed to see that fall back so much today. And that's it, folks. Enough. Wall Street's closed. Looks like the Dow's up 6, so very, very modest gains. I don't think that's going to have any big influence on Europe tomorrow. All the best.